This is Summer Grandstand on ABC Sport with Sam Lane and Limo. On your radio, ABC Sport Digital, and on the ABC Listen app.
And the Sydney Kings just doing a fantastic job of protecting the paint. Low.
And contesting shots from Jaylen Galloway.
Galloway, nice full court pass and an even better flush from Galloway.
That is just one of the many highlights from the Sydney Kings demolition job, Limo, last night. A 41-point demolition job over the New Zealand Breakers. You love your basketball. You are all over our next guest because he is an enduring legend of the sport, current coach of the NBL Sydney Kings, a man who has coached 6 NBL championships and a total of 865 NBL games.
Wow.
Phenomenal. To talk to us about his team comprehensive win last night, the NBL broadly, and a remarkable career in sport, we welcome Brian Gorchin.
Thank you. Nice. Just got off the plane. We're just back in Sydney after that New Zealand game.
Well, you're a very experienced coach, as we've already laid out, and congratulations, Brian. But you had a couple of pretty big injury blows coming into that game. So did you see this result and, in fact, the imbalance on the scoreboard at least coming?
No. Honestly, I didn't. And not being disrespectful to New Zealand in any manner, the fire was in our box. You know, we won 6 in a row. Finally, we started the season with a couple of injuries and to the same position. So we had to play a different style. And came out of the block slow, got it going, and then, as you said, lost our 2 marquee players, the second one in the game prior to the New Zealand game, and there's very little preparation time. So completely different style of play against New Zealand, which makes me proud of how the guys handled that and went about it, but not having any background to it, not have played it before, I was unsure. I knew the guys were in and they were committed, and that gave it a great chance. But we hadn't played like that before, and that was the first time with that playing group starting.
And you talk about them being committed and focused. The second, your defensive game in the second quarter, the score was 27-4 in the second quarter. It was extraordinary.
I've been it for 40 years, coached all over the world. I've never had a quarter like it. And I think maybe for them as well, you know, we've been playing with Boo Qual and Xavier Cooks. They're long athletic guys, and they call it in basketball, you're in the passing lanes and it's rotation and you fly around. And we went smaller and packed it and played what you call contest and contain. Just play between your man and the basket and make him shoot over a hand. And they just weren't making shots early. It compounded it himself. They fell behind and got a little more desperate. And we didn't foul. We didn't give them free throws. Nothing cheap. And I looked up at this. It was a kind of game where you don't look at the scoreboard. I'm just going to rotate bodies and don't want to get intimidated by what the score is. And looked up at halftime, and we were up by 29. And they said, you know, you outscored them 27-4, which 4 points is a record for the franchise. And I don't know where that sits as far as the NBL goes, because it's almost unheard of.
Hard to imagine many teams would have scored less than that in a quarter. How often do you not look at the scoreboard during a quarter?
Not very often. The reason being, I told the staff with what we were doing, it's seat of the pants and it's emotion and it's feel. Can't get intimidated if something doesn't go right or we fall behind. So don't look at the score. Don't get intimidated by that. Let's just go by feel and what we're seeing on the floor. And I made a conscious effort not to look at the scoreboard, which, like you say, is rare. But I wanted to have a freedom to substitute and not worry about protection or what if we're behind or what the situation is. Just feel. And taking the score out of that is important if you're going to do that.
Brian, we want to have a good chat to you about your coaching. Your enduring success and your passion and your learning. But just on that little microcosm example you've given us. You said, you know, you had to kind of change things up. You were without two marquee players. And what was it about you changing it up, do you think, or explaining the strategy or how you were going to go about it that really landed? Because I'm sure coaches all the time come up with great ideas. It doesn't necessarily mean that it will be carried out on the court or the field or whatever you're playing.
I think, you know, the big helping hand for me in growth and energy and everything has been my involvement in the national program. You know, when you're involved in a domestic program, usually you have a formula and you recruit players into your formula, where when you're with the national team, clarity, simplistic, totally different circumstances. You're getting the 10 best players, bringing them to you and figuring out what suits them. And there's constant change with NBA commitments. And so this seat of the pants feel, simplistic, being experiment, take chances, all of that. I have a background with the national team. So when those injuries took place, and I've said all year, you know, adversity, all of this, make it your friend, and we're going to grow out of it. And I've kind of had that aspect to it from the time the season started with it. And, when the two guys went down, I came into the locker room and said, we're going to have some fun with this. I've got some guys that have been sitting on the bench that I'm excited to coach in the game. It got a lot of something, and we're going to play to your strengths, and then we're going to keep it real, real simple. And everybody wants to play. Everybody wants to do well, and everybody believes in themselves. So I think it falls on the coach to come in there and give them that you understand, you know, how they're feeling, and then they want the light. Where's the pathway? Yep. So, if you said good staff, and I thought we did a great job. The staff did a great job of presenting and making the right moves on how to do this and a way forward.
I feel like we're talking to Brian Gorgeon, Sydney Kings head coach. I feel like this win's put a little spring in your step, Brian, perhaps more so than a regular win.
I keep saying very much so, but this path this year has been really emotional. You know, we had a really rough year last year. And the thing, same sort of thing. We get to the back stretch and three main guys go down. We get knocked down, disappointing year. And then we start this one down a similar path. And, finally got the thing going. And then, you know, these two hits, where are you going to go with it? In the league, is it an all-time high? So I'm really energized by the challenge one. And it's coming. I mean, tomorrow we play one of the best teams in the competition, and they've been just sitting there waiting for us. So, challenges are coming. So I think, you know, there was an excitement from the game last night for sure, and an energy about a lot of guys that haven't had a lot of opportunity getting opportunity.
You're inspired and energized as a coach at 72 years young, I'm going to say. A lot of coaches in other sports, and, you know, there's a big debate in AFL men's, you know, is it a game now for young men to coach, to talk the language of the young charges that they lead? What keeps you able to remain, if I can put it this way, relevant?
Well, I think, you know, the thing about my career is I've had I've been around change. So constant changes of environment, constant forced to learn, forced to get better on the computer, forced to be able to communicate through an interpreter, forced to learn different words from a different language, forced to be relevant and get respect in a different culture when you can't speak the same language. How do I get respect from the Chinese national team? And you're in there and you're the only Westerner. I've had these challenges, our national program, trying to get a medal. Learning, being competent, still being able at my age to communicate and build relationships are something that, you know, I've worked on and been forced to and put in environments or I wouldn't survive. And I just, you know, have come back to Sydney now after doing the ESAL, which is the Euro League of Asia. And now I get to come back to Sydney in my own country in a completely new challenge. So I, to answer your question, I think that's been a big thing as far as the energy goes. And to survive, I've just had to grow and learn because I've been constantly in change.
And that doesn't just happen by osmosis, by just being in change. I'm sure you talk to people, you look to people. I'm sure you read, listen to a lot of different things to get different ideas. Could you share with us some names that either you watch or you speak to directly?
Well, I mean, you don't need 1,000, but I do have, you know, some people you wouldn't know in China. You know, some in the Philippines, but my closest workmate is a guy named Mike Dunlap, who, you know, has been a mentor for 30 years. And there's another guy in England named Alan Dean. That's they watch all the games. They, go through the game. They go through each player. After the game's over, we evaluate and talk about situations that occurred during the game, whether it be, you know, and then maybe take a situation. How are you going with your staff? Where are you at with that? Where are you challenging them there? How are they on the floor? How are they developing? What's your situation play? Let's talk about that today. So it's constant. How are you using huddle, the computer, the breaking down of the games to the, so I have those on a regular basis as the games come in and get a light outside of my particular coaching staff, a vision from somebody outside looking in that doesn't have a background to some of these things. And a lot of times they have cleaner eyes because of that.
And Brian, do you keep an eye on coaching in other sports and how coaching is evolving in other sports? And if so, which particular sports?
Australian rules football is I've had a great opportunity, you know, the Great Western Force here, you know, we've had meetings consistently. I was in a deal with Luke Darcy's thing that puts together coaches. And I had Ames with Tottenham. I had Neil Craig. I had Luke Beveridge and Eddie Jones monthly. Where just what we're doing now, talking about and learning about sport. And, you know, from the time I got involved in it, I was told back in the 80s when I started coaching, go to a sport they're great at and you'll learn from just being in sport. And it was Australian rules football with Robert Walls, you know, David Parkin, you know, Russ Lyons, those guys were instrumental in the development and helpful.
Brian, we could talk to you all day about your incredible coaching career. 856 games at NBL level is just extraordinary. And we really appreciate your time today and congratulations on what you're achieving with the Sydney Kings. And we wish you all the very best for the rest of the season.
Nice to be on your show. Good questions. Brian. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This is Summer Grandstand on ABC Sports.